Blog Talk Radio.
That we need to fall in love with Jesus.
But yes, it is the best thing that you can ever do. To God be the glory for the great and for the mighty things that he has done. We would like to welcome you to the Breakthrough Broadcast Hour of Power. We are coming live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida, where God get all the glory, where God get all of the honor, and where God get all of the praise. God said, if I be lifted up, that he will draw all men unto him. It is time for men and women, boys and girls, to be drawn closer and closer to God. This morning, we're coming from the Word of God, and we're going to be studying today and preaching from the book of Jonah. By the way, I am the preacher for the hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. And on yesterday, it was so exciting because we talked from the first and the second chapter of Jonah. And we talked about a preacher that had disobeyed God. We talked about a preacher that God had called and told him to arise and go to Nineveh and to preach to that great city. But their wickedness had come up before God. And we're here today, and we're reaching out to the men and women of God. I'm talking to the prophets, to the apostles, to the evangelists, to the pastors, to the teachers. I'm talking to those that are saved. I'm talking to the believer. God told Jonah to arise and go to that great city. And he told them to preach to them because their wickedness had came up before him. But we found out that Jonah, he decided instead of going to Nineveh, he decided that he was going to pay his fare, and he was going to go to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. And we find that we should be running to the presence of the Lord instead of running from the presence of God. But then after we found that Jonah had decided that he was not going to go preach, he was not going to go and to preach to the sinners, to the wicked people that was in Nineveh. When he decided he was not going to go there, he went and he paid his fare, and he decided that he was going to go someplace else. So, and when we start looking at the Word of God, the Lord let us know that he decided, I'm going to go, and I'm going to go to Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. But then the Lord sent out a great wind and a sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea. And the ship that Jonah was in, they began to be in jeopardy. And we found out yesterday how Jonah was on the ship, but Jonah was asleep on the ship. He was resting comfortably while the men on the ship, life was in jeopardy. And that's another message right there, that we are sleeping. We are sleeping comfortably. We're not doing the will of God when men and women's lives are in jeopardy. God called the man of God, a prophet of God, to go and to preach to my people and to let them know and walk about their sin, their transgression, and to let them know what he had spoken unto Jonah to tell these people. But then when the mariner, the captain of the ship, when they found out that Jonah, he went down and they found out that Jonah had gone to sleep, he tells Jonah in the Word of God He wanted Jonah also, even as God had told him to arrive. And he said there in that sixth verse in the first chapter of Jonah, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper, arise and call upon thy God? What do you mean by sleeping? What do you mean by taking your rest? When the men on their ship, when the ship is in jeopardy, how can you sleep comfortably? And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know from whose cause this evil has come upon us. So they cast the lots, and a lot fell on Jonah. And then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, what cause is this evil have come upon us? What is thy occupation? See, they didn't ask him, as we said on yesterday, they didn't ask him what his occupation was before. They wasn't so concerned about who he was. But at this time, their lives were in jeopardy. And they wanted to know what cause that he was running. What cause was this that their lives was being put to a risk? So therefore, Jonah said unto him, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea as a dry land. Then when the men exceedingly, when Jonah began to say and to speak that he was a Hebrew and that he feared the Lord, which has made the sea and the dry land, the men was exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why has thou done this? And so the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them that he had. And then they wanted to know what could they do. And Jonah told them, if they pick him up and throw him and cast him unto the sea, that there will be a calm. And they did not want to throw the man of God overboard. They did not want to cast Jonah unto the sea. But the Lord was on that ship. The Lord had something to do with the men that was on that ship. And this man was on that ship. That disobedient prophet was on that ship. And God had to get his attention. God had to deal with this man of God, this disobedient man of God that did not want to see lives change. The man of God that did not want souls to be saved. The man of God that had brought judgment in his own conscience, his own self, that wanted Nineveh to be destroyed. Nevertheless, the word of God tells us that the men rode harder and harder, and they tried to get control of this ship. But you see, the work of God was at hand. God was not going to let them do any less than what his desire for Jonah to be thrown aboard. Therefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not that his innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, for thou hast, and it pleased thee. So then they took up Jonah, and they cast him into the sea. And the sea, listen to me, people of God, listen to me, people of God. Then the sea began to be calm, and the sea ceased her raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered of sacrifices to the Lord and made vows. God had prepared. He didn't just throw Jonah aboard. He didn't just throw him into the sea, but he knew that he was going to protect his man of God because he had a commission. He was on a commission, and God could have sent any other prophet, any other teacher, any other evangelist, but God called for Jonah to go forth and to preach. preach his word, to be able to cause these same people that he was running from to be saved and to be delivered. And to see the Lord in that 17th verse of the first chapter of Jonah, it says, and the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And in during that time that he was in the belly of that fish, he had time to be able to go before the Lord. He had time to be able to pray. He had time to be able to repent of his sin. He had time to be able to talk to God. And when he began to talk to God, I'm telling you, men and women of God, those that do not believe in God, those that are not saved, you need to have a relationship with him so that you'll be able to talk to God, so God will be able to hear your prayer, that God will be able to hear your cry, even in your disobedient state, even when you are just walking the walk, you need to have that connection with God. You need to be able to talk to God. So after him being in this fish for 3 days and 3 nights, and you can imagine what was inside of that fish, God, he touched the heart of God. And God knew that it was time for him to come out of that fish. And the fish vomited him up. Could you understand what I'm saying? The fish vomited, when we think about vomited him up, but we can kind of gag at that almost. To know when vomit come out of someone's mouth. But we vomit him up, and Jonah here has become unto the word of God today in that third chapter of Jonah. And it says that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Oh, my God, how many times God has to speak to the men and women of God? How many times does God have to speak to the people of God? God told him the first time to go to preach to the Ninevites. And here in the third chapter, this is the second commission to go. And God told him again to arise, to get up, to go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it. The preaching that I bid you, the preaching that I tell you. Jonah, I don't want you to be comfortable anymore. Jonah, I don't want you to be complacent anymore. Jonah, I don't want you to be lukewarm anymore. Jonah, I don't want you to be rebellious anymore. But Jonah, I want you to go and do what I have bid you to do. And I want you to go and I want you to preach to these people. Because if you don't tell them about and give them the message that I have given you, then their lives was in jeopardy, even if your life was in jeopardy. I can even imagine him knowing the importance of going and reaching out to that great city. So the word of God says that Jonah arose and he went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, in the word let us know that Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter to the city. It didn't take him 1 day. It didn't take him 3 days, rather. And it didn't take him 2 days. But Jonah began to enter to the city, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. In 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. The prophet speaking, God has sent the prophet, God has sent the men of God to let them know that if you don't repent, let them know that this great city will be destroyed. So the people of Nineveh believe God. See, when we do what God has called us to do, the people will believe God. There are many people that will believe God. Many people will turn away from their wicked way. The people of Nineveh began to proclaim a fast, and they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even unto the least of them. Oh, my God. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne. He got the attention of a king, and he laid his robe from him. He took off his robe. He took off his royal robe. He took off his apparel, and he covered himself with a sackcloth and with ashes, and he sat in the ashes. And he called it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the degree of a king that his nobleman let neither man nor beast. I mean, this coming from the king. This is a serious time. That city, that great city, was about to be destroyed. But the king said, let neither man nor beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Don't eat a thing. Don't taste a thing. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. It's time to cover yourself with sackcloth. It's time for you to go before the Lord. It's time for you to pray. It's time to seek the face of God. The king knew the importance of what they were about to do. He knew the importance of repentance. And I say to you, even as I speak the word of God this morning from the book of Jonah, and today we're in that third chapter, and he knew, the king knew, that the people need to repent of their wicked ways. The king knew that the people were living in wickedness. The king knew that the people was wicked people. They was liars. They was cheaters. They was killers. They was homemongers. They was adulterers. They was drunkards. Whatever they were, they was hookers. Whatever it was, that God knew that if this city did not repent, that he was going to destroy these people. But look how important it was for the man of God to go and preach the word of God that the city will be saved. There are many people that need to be saved today to deliver and made free. But the preacher, the believer, has to go forth. They have to preach the adulterated, the uncompromised word of God that they can be saved. So the king has ordered them that they go on this fast. Everybody go on this fast. Even the herd, the flock, the animals, everybody had to go on this fast. Nobody eats. Nobody drank even any water because they knew the seriousness. The king knew the seriousness of what God had said that he was going to do. He said, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from this evil way and from the violence that is in their hand. He knew that the people was out of control. He knew that the people were doing things that was out of the will of God and those things that are wrong. The Bible said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Somebody needs to hear God today. Somebody needs to turn away from their wicked ways. Somebody needs to follow out the righteousness. Somebody needs to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when you seek the face of God, and when you petition God and repent of your sins, that has to be a change. So here we find here in the ninth verse of that third chapter of Jonah, he said, the king said, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? The king knew that God was angry. The king knew that God was getting ready to destroy the Ninevites, destroy this people, destroy what they had. And God, oh, look at here in that 10th verse. And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil ways. And God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. When we take the time to pray, the word of God says, man shall always pray and not to faint. When we began to go before the face of God, when we began to have that repentant heart, even as the Ninevites, they knew that they were wicked. They knew that they were evil. They knew that they had done things that displeased God. But they had the sense enough to know that they needed to repent. Repent means to turn away from your wicked ways, to make a change, to be converted. They knew that they need to touch the heart of God, because the king said, who can tell that if God would turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? Their lives was on the line. So we find here that God, he's a God of compassion. He's a God that forgives iniquity. He's a God that will forgive us of our sins and our transgressions. After they repented, after they was in sackcloth and ashes, after they stopped eating and went before God and prayed sincerely before God, God, the word of God tells us that he repented, that he did not destroy. He decided, I'm going to give them another chance. I'm going to not destroy this nation, this people, but I'm going to give them another chance. And God repented of the evil that he said that he was going to do to these people. We need God. We need God to forgive us for our sins. We need God to forgive us of our transgression. We need God to come into our heart. Even as the Ninevites, they had the sense to know that if they did not repent, that they were going to perish. Same it is today and today's time. If man does not repent, if man does not turn away from their wicked ways, that they were going to perish. The wages of sin is death. I say it again. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. When we began to look at that fourth chapter, we began to look at Jonah's pleasure. That's what we're going to be talking about. But if it pleased Jonah exceedingly, it displeased him exceedingly, and he was very angry. He was angry because God did not destroy the Ninevites. You mean, God, that you're going to send me, and I done went through being on the ship, people's lives have been in jeopardy. I've been thrown overboard. I spent 3 days and I spent 3 nights in the fish belly. I was vomited up by the fish. And then I was able to enter into Nineveh in 1 day instead of 3 days. And I preached like you told me to preach to the people. And yet, God, you done changed your mind and you're not going to destroy these people. Yes, God, I'm angry. He was very angry because God did not destroy the people that God said he was. Where is the compassion? Where is the compassion for the people? Where's the compassion of the men and women, the boys and girls, for the people, the souls that are lost? Where's the compassion? Where's the love? When we look again at the New Testament and we look at John 3:16, and the word of God said, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When a man and a woman, and boy and girl, hear the word of God and they repent of their sin, God going to hear them no matter what condition that they were in, no matter what they did. They may have been a drunkard, they may have been a fornicator, a homemonger, they may have been a murderer, whatever. They may have been a bite fighter, but when they hear the word of God, when they repent in their heart, just like the Ninevites repented of their sins, of the feet of their wickedness and evilness in their heart, God heard their prayer. And it's the same thing that God would hear the prayer of a nation. God would hear the prayer of a people. And he will save them, and he will deliver them. When I began to think about the man, the God's man, Jonah, and I think about how angry he got and how he was had this great displeasure because God didn't kill those people, because he wanted to kill. You know, he didn't want them to live because he was thinking about what the people have done in the past. Oh, he didn't think about their wickedness and their transgression. Yes, they did some wicked things. But yet God was saved. Because God was saved what to the uttermost. And God knew that his man of God was angry. And here in the second verse it says, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord. This is when Jonah is talking to the Lord. Was not this my saying when I was in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarsus. And I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repent thee of thy evil. Of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah needs to have been delivered. Jonah needs a transformation of the spirit. The Bible says in the 12th chapter of Romans, he said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of our mind through the Spirit. Now, Jonah wanted to die. Why would the man of God want to die? Because God did not kill and destroy the Ninevites, a nation of people. Where is the love of God? But yet, he wanted to die. Then God says, in that fourth verse, then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow that he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gird and made it to come up over Jonah, and it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gird. He was in grief. Think about that. The man of God was in grief. The man of God wanted to die because God did not destroy unholy people, wicked nation. But God prepared a worm when the morning arose the next day, and it smote the gird that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gird? But he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then the Lord said, thou hast hidden on the gird, which thou hast not labored, neither made it to grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. He said, should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein there are more than 6,000, 6,000 a person that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and so, and also much cattle? So, should not I have had pity upon this people? 120,000 people, 120,000 lives, 64,000 a person. Should not I have pity on it, just like you had pity upon that gourd, that plant, when the worm ate it up? Should not I have pity and passion on it? And let us know today that we need for God to move upon our heart. We need for God to change our heart. We need to be obedient to the Most High God. We need to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto us. We need God to touch our heart. We need God to touch the innermost part of our spirit. We need God to come in and make a change. Yes, the people of God need to seek the face of God. The word of God said, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek your face, turn away from their wicked way. He said that I would hear from heaven. He said that I would forgive the sin. He said that I would forgive the land. We need God, in the name of Jesus, to forgive sin, because our nation needs to be healed. We need God to move in our lives. We need God to look upon us as people of God so that we can pray, and we can pray sincerely and earnestly. We need God to move on behalf of the United States of America. We need God to move upon even in our homes, in our community, in our city, in our state. We need God to have his way all around the world and to cause souls to be saved and lives to be changed. We need to wake up. We need to rise up. We need to get up so that souls can be saved and lives can be changed. So I'm saying to you today, even as God has spoken to the man of God, even as God has spoken to his man Jonah, and he had great patience with Jonah, and God has had great patience with the men and the women of God, and he told them to go. He said, go into the hedges. He said, go into the highway. He told them to compel them to come. So therefore, men and women of God, God has had great patience, great compassion for the men and women of God, so they'll go and they will tell the men and women everywhere to seek first the kingdom of God, to repent of their sins. So therefore, it is time for us to arise, to get up, not to be complacent, not to be lukewarm, not to have that love within us. We need the love of God within us so that souls will be saved and so that lives will be changed. Jonah had to make a change. Jonah had to make a difference. When he obeyed God, people's lives were changed. I'm getting ready right now to go before the throne of grace. And it's any of you that are in our radio audience, if you are not saved, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you have not said yes to God's will and yes to his way, I want you to give you the opportunity today to repent of your sin. I want to give you the opportunity today to ask the Lord to forgive you for your sins, to come into your heart, and to save you. Yes, you may be that backslider. Yes, you may be that liar. Yes, you may be that drug dealer. Yes, you may be one that takes drugs. Yes, you may be that adulterer. Yes, you may be that murderer. Yes, you may be just disobedient. But yet God is giving you the opportunity to come to him today. Yes, tomorrow is not promised to you. Today is the day of salvation. So we're getting ready to lead you into the sinner's prayer. Father, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. Save me. Deliver me. And make me free. God, make me that new creature in Christ Jesus. Let old things pass away. Let all things become new. Lord, I live this life for you. Lord, I live this life, God, so that I can live again. Lord, I live this life, God, so I can see your face. Lord, I live this life, God, so men and women, boys and girls will be saved. Father God, even as you're saving me right now. And Lord, I thank you right now, Lord God, for casting every sin, all of my sin, unto the sea of forgetfulness and remember it no more. Yes, God, I want to be that new creature. Yes, I want to be that new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away and all things become new. And this I thank you, Lord God, for saving and delivering me. All of those that have prayed a prayer with me, I want you to know that God has forgiven you for your sin. He has cast every sin in the sea of forgetfulness, and he will not remember it no more. I want you to know that just as a baby is new out of the mother's womb, I want you to know that your sin has been forgiven. Today, if you prayed that prayer and you meant what you said, your sin has been forgiven. And at this time, I want to pray for those that are in our radio audience that are going through sickness and diseases and infirmities in their body. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray even now, God, that you will touch men and women, boys and girls, everywhere, God, in Jesus' name. God, I send forth the word today. I send for God for the word, for the word for those, God, in the name of Jesus that are sick in their body. Lord, I send the word, God, in Jesus' name, that your healing power, God, will be demonstrated, Lord God, in Jesus' name. I pray even now, Lord God, Father God, that person, God, has been given a bad report, that person that the doctor have told them that they have cancer. Lord, I pray, God, that your supernatural healing power, God, will be manifest in their body. God, those, God, that are suffering, God, in the name of Jesus, with infirmity of leukemia, God, I pray healing right now in Jesus' name. God, that person, Lord God, and those persons, God, that has a kidney problem, Lord, we pray, God, that all infection, all infirmity, God, that would be removed. I pray, God, that you give them a brand new kidney in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, Father God, for all, Father God, diseases, Lord God, in the flesh. Lord God, Father God, that it be healed right now. That person, God, in the name of Jesus, has done a real. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father, I pray, Lord God, that the healing, God, will be manifested, Lord God. Father, in Jesus' name, Father God, that committed his seed, Lord, let it be healed by your stripes, God, they are healed. God, those that are blind, those that are, Father God, in Jesus' name, God, that the blind cannot see, God, in Jesus' name, I pray that their eyesight will be restored. I pray even those that are blind spiritually, God, that they'll be able to, Father, to see in the spirit, that they'll be able to walk in the spirit, Lord God. Open their eyes, Lord, even now. That person with those people, Lord God, with oppression and depression, Lord God, heal by the mighty power of the Most High God. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the Lord God, for healing. I thank you for bringing, God, deliverance. I pray peace. I send peace and joy, God, to the oppressed and the depressed, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, even now, I pray for those that are in prison. God, Lord, we pray, God, that you would touch them even now. God, that you would touch the inner part of their soul. God, to let them know, God, that they're not a hopeless case. Let them know, God, that you love them. God, let them know, Father God, that you have and will forgive them for their sin, for every transgression, Lord God. So, Lord, we ask the Lord in Jesus' name to touch that woman, touch that man, God, and that you, Father God, that's in prison, Lord, I ask thee, God, to move, Lord, even now. Lord, even ask that young man, Lord God, that you, God, that's in prison, I mean, that are going before the justice system. Lord, I pray your tender mercy, God, upon, Father, that you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, Father God, your mercy and your grace, God, upon him, God, even now. And Lord, we just give you praise and glory, and we give you the honor for all that you have done, God, for all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. And this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Oh, what a glorious time. Oh, what an awesome time. What a time that God is speaking to his people. And we want you to join us on tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock. This has been the Breakthrough Hour of Power. And your preacher for this day is Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we're going to ask you to know the God that is able to save, the God that's able to deliver, and the God that is able to make free. Until tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, come on and bless the Lord, trust him, and live for him.